Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. You are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. From the Gospel according to Luke. When the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, looking forward to the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Guided by the Spirit, Simeon came into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what was customary under the law, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Master, now you are dismissing your servant in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel." As the child's father and mother were amazed at what being said about him, then Simeon blessed them and said to his mother Mary, "This child is destined for the falling and for the rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be opposed so that the inner thoughts of many will be revealed. And a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophet, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, having lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage, then as a widow to the age of 84. She never left the temple, but worshiped there with fasting and prayer night and day. At that moment she came and began to praise God and to speak about the child to all who were looking for the redemption of Israel. When they had finished everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This story comes after the birth story in Luke. And Luke is telling us the story that Joseph and Mary went to the temple. They were obedient to Torah, to the law of Moses, and to God's purpose. And by observing the law, by going to Jerusalem, they were going to make a sacrifice to the Lord, which is what you did when a baby was born. And in the temple, they encounter two prophets, Simeon and Anna. And Simeon has waited for this moment. He has now seen this child. And he starts praising God for the blessing of seeing the Lord, the Messiah. And then Luke says to us, the child's mother and father were amazed at what was being said about their son. They seem surprised by the declaration that Simeon is making. Sometimes we think, because we know the story, that everybody knew the story. But yet they were amazed. How could they not be? Because Simeon and Anna both saw in this child the beginning of a new order that would shake the foundation of all the powers that be. The coming of the Messiah was the redemption of all the nations, and that redemption was tied to the fulfillment of God's promise for Israel. We know that Israel had waited and waited and waited for the one who would restore them to power, the one who would help God's chosen be free from oppression once again, to live out God's wish for them. And then Luke's story tells us, though, that the rising and the falling that Simeon speaks about is a reversal of what they might have thought. It is a reversal that will become the hallmark of Jesus' ministry. Mary might have understood what was happening, but maybe not. And all of Israel waited for a certain kind of Messiah, and here was a reversal of what they were waiting for. And even the disciples, how could they have imagined? What the future would bring could not have even been imagined. Today is New Year's Day, and we celebrate a new beginning. We cross a new threshold every year on this day. We hit the restart button today. It's the time when we plan for the kind of year we really want to have, don't we? So we begin the resolutions, we begin to plan, we begin to say we're going to make things new this year, a fresh start. And I am big on planning, a little bit of a control freak. Oh, I don't need for some of you to laugh at that. I admit. So I already have my list for this year of every single thing I'm going to accomplish. And I think it's wonderful to be intentional about our futures. We should plan, shouldn't we? We make commitments that way. We know what sacrifices we're going to make for ourselves and so that the world will be a better place. Because the beginning of the new year always feels like a do-over. It feels like we get to start and do things better. And I think about Jesus saying, "Look, I'm making all things new." And my heart stops a little bit and I want to say, "Lord, not all things. Not all things." In fact, here is my prayer for the new year. Dear God, please make all things new exactly this way. I want to experience your grace, and here's how I want to experience your grace. The problem with that approach, of course, is that it leaves very little room for the Spirit to work. It doesn't allow for God's dissident grace. Dissident means disagreeing, dissenting, to differ in sentiment or opinion. And I can tell you, brothers and sisters, there have been many times when I thought I was in disagreement with what God had to offer me. We may miss God's amazing grace because it is often unsettling. It is dissident from what we think it should look like or feel like or even sound like. I think when John Newton, the slave trader, wrote Amazing Grace, he must have been as surprised as any person could ever be about how God's grace felt. "'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear." Taught my heart to fear. I think we could gather together and have a really long discussion about just what the meaning of that line alone is. But I think, suffice to say, that any time we have preconceived ideas about where God is leading and how God graces our lives, when we really open ourselves up, our heart will fear. For humans do not like ambiguity. We will do whatever we can to avoid it. We want predictable outcomes. But let me ask you this. Think about a time in your life when you really experienced God's grace. Annie Dillard calls them those God-paralyzed moments. Were you surprised? Were you caught off guard? When you experienced that moment of clarity, of God's presence, grace in your life, were you completely in control? Was it an inbreaking, though, of God's Spirit into your preconceived notion of what an outcome should look like? It has been for me more times than I can count. Was it God's dissident grace that you experienced? We cross a threshold every year at this time, and it is not imaginary. It is very real. It truly is a new beginning. But the question we have to answer every year at this time is, can we live into the mystery, the uncertainty, and hold each question about our future as a blessing? Can you actually hold the questions as a blessing so that we can live into God's grace? I'm not suggesting that we don't plan. None of us are going to do that. I'm not going to do that. We have to be intentional about our own future. We have to co-create with God what we're going to do this year. And I don't condone sitting around waiting for the magic God to create a life for us. That is not what I'm saying. But I am suggesting that John Newton knew what it meant to embrace God's dissident grace. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. Grace relieved my fears. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Mary and Joseph could not have imagined the future that God's grace would have through Jesus Christ. It says the parents were amazed at all that was being said about their son. They could not have imagined. Here we are. How many times during their life of raising this child do you think that they wondered, that they fretted, that they said to God, this cannot be right? Or they even tried to change Jesus' mind. The Gospels give us a hint that things didn't always go well with them. And yet we are here today because Jesus remained open to God's grace every moment, all the way to the cross and beyond. If we try to control everything, if we try to plan and plan and plan and plan, we may miss the offer of God's grace because it is unsettling and it does not look or feel or sound as we expect. Whenever I am struggling with God's grace for my life, I play that piece as a reminder that in the coming year, we can keep in our hearts a prayer to pay attention, because God's amazing grace may start off the way we expect and then become unfamiliar, dissident. But if you listen carefully, you may still see and hear and feel the familiar in it. And when you settle into it, it becomes beautiful and lilting. And God will most certainly be present. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far. In its grace, that will lead us home. Amen.